Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Michael Moore joins us in just a minute as he revisits his classic documentary, Bowling for Columbine, with a screening on MSNBC this weekend. But just for some context from the news of the day, the most recent mass shooting in the continental United States, according to gunviolencearchive.org, happened. Okay, folks, guess a date. Which one are you thinking of? You thinking of El Paso back then? You thinking of Dayton? No, it was yesterday in Columbus, Ohio, just before the presidential candidates got on the debate stage 8 miles away. Though there are debates about what counts as a mass shooting, for this conversation, we're going to go with the usual definition of at least 4 people shot in one incident. That happened yesterday, and it didn't make the news. Candidate Beto O'Rourke, in last night's debate, again proposed a mandatory assault weapons buyback.
So if the logic begins with those weapons being too dangerous to sell, then it must continue by acknowledging with 16 million AR-15s and AK-47s out there, they're also too dangerous to own. Every single one of them is a potential instrument of terror.
We'll hear pushback against that position from Amy Klobuchar as we talk to Michael Moore, but much has been made about the role of high-powered weapons with the big magazines full of lots of bullets, right? But there have been 337 incidents of 4 or more people shot by single-actor shooters, not necessarily by a high-powered magazine or an assault rifle, in the United States this year alone. So there's more to the issue than that. 337 incidents of 4 or more shot by a single actor in a single incident. How many have even made the news? Of course, one of the early of such incidents in the American imagination is Columbine High School in 1999. The horrors and the events leading up to that day were explored in the 2002 documentary by filmmaker Michael Moore called Bowling for Columbine. Here's a 20-second clip from the film.
This is an American tradition. It's an American responsibility to be armed. If you're not armed, you're not responsible. Right. Who's going to defend your kids? The cops? The federal government?
No, none of them.
It's your job to defend you and yours. If you don't do it, you're in dereliction of duty as an American, period.
Documentary filmmaker Michael Moore joins us now in our studio, as there will be a special screening of Bowling for Columbine Saturday night on MSNBC. Hi, Michael. It's been a minute. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian. I'm happy to be here.
You know what I want to ask you first? Remind us, and for people who haven't seen the film, what was the bowling connection? Why was it Bowling for Columbine?
The two young boys who committed the massacre, their zero-hour class that morning was bowling. That was their phys ed class. The class would meet at a local bowling alley, and they showed up to go bowling. And that's how their day began, even though they were planning to do this. 4 hours later, they skipped their fourth hour AP class, which was, amazingly for high school, a French philosophy
wow
class that they were supposed to be in. And that's when they did the shooting.
Is it too obvious a question to ask why you're revisiting this 17-year-old film of yours at this time?
Yes. I'm not used to such obvious questions from you. This is, sadly, this film could have been made this week, and it could be in theaters, and it would not, sadly, again, feel dated. And just to finish what I was saying about the bowling part of this, like did we put that in the title? Mm-hmm. If you remember back at the time, they immediately blamed Marilyn Manson for being the inspiration for these boys. They watched too many violent video games. The movies are too violent. There's always sort of a an excuse as to why this is happening. And my point was, well, why don't you blame bowling? That's how their day started. I mean, it's
if you're going to make an association with they did this and then they shut up their school, they did that and then they,
right.
What kind of entertainment do you want to associate with it as a supposed?
Well, it's a way of us getting away from looking at perhaps what the real reasons may be why we have so much gun violence in this country, because those Canadian kids watch the same violent movies, play the same violent video games, listen to Marilyn Manson. And why don't they go and shoot up their schools? They're the closest in terms of kids around the world that are so tied into American culture because they're right here on our border and they watch everything our kids watch. Why not them? Because the Canadians aren't better than us. They've got the same 23 chromosomes in each one of their cells. They're not a better part of the species of humans. So why aren't they inclined to reach for the gun in the way that Americans are?
Do you have an answer?
And, well, you know, the interesting thing about this film is that the whole movie, in making it, became a real journey for me because I had the typical answer, I think probably most liberals would have had and still do, that we just need less guns. We need more gun control laws and less guns, and that would fix the problem. But while I was making the film, I realized that, no, actually, that's a piece of it. Yes, obviously, less guns, you're going to have less gun violence. But there is something that I felt that was wrong with us as a society. Why we do this? Why other, you know, I mean, Canadians, I mean, their number one sport actually is there's more hunters than hockey players in Canada.
Huh.
They have many guns in their homes. They're hunting rifles and shotguns mostly. But they don't use them. I mean, Switzerland, it's still the law because they don't have a standing army that there has to be a gun in every male head of household, as their law says, they have to have a gun. They don't kill each other like we do.
The NRA uses that argument.
Well, and in the film, I came to the conclusion that the NRA is half right. When they say guns don't kill people, Americans kill people. I mean, no, that's what I say. I mean, they say
people kill people.
Yeah, people kill people.
Meaning individuals kill people.
But my point is that that's, yes, guns cannot fire themselves. That's true. But it's really not people. It's Americans. We do this. We have these mass shootings now, as you said, 337, and we're not even in day, we're not even at day 300 yet with in this year that we're in. So, how is it that this happens on an average of once a day in this country now? You know, and I got to tell you, Brian, we decided to make this movie. We came into work that day. We had a show called The Awful Truth on Bravo. We came in to work on the show, and then there on TV comes the kids running out of the high school in Columbine, and. And we sat there, and that afternoon we decided to make this movie. And and I remember us saying, because especially younger people won't remember this, but there was a time when there was not a mass shooting every day in this country.
Right.
And we said to ourselves, let's make sure that, this was the first of these school shootings, these mass school shootings in this modern era. Let's make sure that this is the last one. That's what we said. We're going to make this movie, and we're going to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
And the tragedy, obviously, is that the movie could have been made yesterday. But, you know, when I look back on this, one of the things that I remember is that the Columbine High School shooting, which, by the way, was exactly 20 years ago, it was 1999, April of that year. People forget it was not the first at that time, but just the latest in a string of shootings by students over the previous year or two. There was one in Arkansas, there was one,
right.
I think Ohio, I meant to look it up this morning, but I didn't, but there had been several. And then Columbine was not the first, but it was the one that got the whole country asking, what's wrong with us that our kids are turning to this? And after that, new teenage mental health programs, et cetera, were implemented in high schools, and people thought that this grotesque American problem would subside, but actually we're in the mass shootings heyday right now.
Right. It Yeah, why did Columbine? I think, well, part of, yes, there had gun violence was a problem before Columbine, but that particular incident took place with two boys you wouldn't think would do this, who killed 12 students and a teacher and themselves. So you've got 15 dead people. That had not really taken place on any kind of a regular basis. And I think that, look, as with any social issue, there come those moments where people, the public, citizens, say, that's enough. I've seen enough. And if that can happen in Littleton, Colorado, it can certainly happen where I live. And of course, remember now, when I say this, this is white people talking, because those right. who live, who are black and Hispanic or live in poverty communities have had to deal with this for a much longer time. Not only just the violence within their community, but the violence from police in their community. So after Columbine, it was usually in a suburban or rural school that That's this right. took place.
By a white kid.
By a white
Or kids.
Not just a kid, but a boy.
Yes.
It's very gender specific. Girls do not go into schools and spray bullets. There's been one or two examples mm-hmm. of this, but it is mm-hmm. women do not go to the top floor of the hotel in Las Vegas and spray bullets with machine guns, essentially, on a crowd of 20,000 concert goers. I remember when that happened that night in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I'm watching CNN. It's like 1 a.m. and they broke in and they said, there's a gunman at the top of this hotel. And my first thought was, well, how do you know it's a man? Of course, I'm being somewhat facetious with myself.
Gunman implies.
Because they don't know who's up there, but mm-hmm. we know it's a man. We know in fact that we are safe from 51% of the population. That generally, women don't use guns to kill people.
Maybe that's why there hasn't been a gender-neutral term for gunmen that's sort of caught on, like gender-neutral person, gender-neutral term for lots of other things. We still tend to say gunman because you're right, it's almost always a male. But did you want to go to a reason for that? just all the acculturation
What I want to do is I want the CDC to be able to study this. Mm-hmm. Why is that? I mean, I think we can answer a lot of this as to why it's so gender specific. Why, when you're watching the 11 o'clock news and you hear of a woman who shot a guy, what's your first thought when you hear that on the news? Wow, what did he do?
Yeah.
What would motivate? And yet again, women have the same 23 chromosomes in their cells. So why don't they want to build an arsenal? And I want to say this, too. This really should be pointed out. And the Washington Post did a great study on this about a year and a half ago. We are not a nation of gun nuts. 78%, according to the Post, of our fellow Americans do not own a gun. 78%. There are, though, over 300 million guns in people's homes. And in this Washington Post story, it pointed out that the majority of those guns, more than 150 million, of the guns in this country are owned by just 3% of the population. Just 3% own that many guns. So that's a problem, because you've got essentially, I don't know, roughly 7 million gun owners that own a dozen, two dozen, five dozen guns and have been building these arsenals.
Michael Moore is our guest. We'll take a couple of phone calls for him in a minute at 212-433-WNYC 433-9692. His 2002 film, Bowling for Columbine, is going to get a TV screening on Saturday night on MSNBC. What time is that? Do you have it?
9 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Just one other thing about the history before we take a couple of calls, and I also want to get some election and impeachment thoughts from you. But have you thought about the racist disparity in the national reaction to gun violence in the 90s, when it was crimes on the streets in cities, one person at a time, committed by young black males, the media and even Hillary Clinton condemned them as super predators. After Columbine, and the other mass school shootings in suburbs by young white males, everybody asks, what's wrong with society that it caused this? How are we as a society failing our kids that they would turn to this? Have you thought about that?
Well, I not only thought about it, a big part of Bowling for Columbine is about the racist nature of this issue, and why do most of the guns, the majority of the guns in this country, are owned by people who live in the suburbs and in rural areas, where there is virtually no real murder crime rate that exists. And so why have they purchased these guns? What are they afraid of? And it's not little freckled-faced Jimmy down the street. They have, in their own minds, they have perceived who they believe the threat is. And oftentimes, that is not somebody who is white. It is that the other, whatever the other is, that's going to break into their house. It's going to kill them. It's going to take what they have. And so much of this has this racial element attached to it. And white America's fear of the other that then makes, you know, the people who do believe they need to possess these guns to have these guns. But once you bring a gun into the house, you have put everyone in danger in your home. First of all, it's now, I mean, the suicide rate with firearms has gone, you know, considerably up in recent years. And the chance of somebody in your house using that gun when they're depressed, when they've lost it, and it's so easy to reach for that gun, and it's almost a guaranteed death if you use a gun in suicide. Also the fact that that if somebody does break into your house, one of the things that burglars look for are guns, because they want to resell them. They're a good commodity to be able to have, especially if it's hard to get these guns. So you've put yourself in danger by having these guns in the house, more danger than if you just got a dog.
You want to talk to a proud NRA member?
Absolutely.
Phil in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Phil.
Hey, listen, Happy New Year. A couple of things. One is I'm going to bring in John Locke, University of Chicago Law School and School of Economics. Years ago, did a book in its third or fourth edition. Now, more guns equals less crime, and that's a fact around the country. Secondly, the mass shootings are down from the Obama era. There aren't one a day. There's a specific definition under uniform crime statistics from the FBI. I think there have been 27. Now, that's 27 too many.
Well, that's on what criteria? If the criteria we were going by was an incident, single incident in which a person shoots at least four other people.
Right, that are unknown to them. That are unknown to them. Anyway,
your criteria is that are unknown to them. Okay.
The bottom line is there are tens of millions of gun owners. They own hundreds of millions of firearms safely and legally. And the people who have collections, I have a friend's father-in-law whose family has been here since the Revolutionary War. He owns 400 guns. They're in a safe. They go back to flintlocks and muskets from the Revolutionary War.
And Phil, I'm going to leave it there for time, but Michael Moore, respond to his points.
First of all, I love, thanks, Phil. By the way, which year is it? Do you know what it is? He wished you a Happy New Year.
Oh.
I think
he's talking about
5780. Yeah, it's 5780. Thank you. Yes. You know, we had good nuns in our school, and they every Passover took us to the temple for a Seder, and the kids there we'd all have the Seder together. But that's only because in the Catholic school I was raised in, you know, other schools, you know, they were told, you know, the Jews killed Jesus. In our school, it was the Italians killed Jesus. So that's where it was. That's how I was raised. Sorry to get off on that. But Phil, here's the thing. You can't convince any American that we don't have a gun problem, that we don't have a mass shooting problem. Get off the NRA talking points. By the way, you know, I don't think most people I know don't want to take people's guns away from them. It's just that the Second Amendment, he brought up the musket. When the Founding Fathers wrote the Second Amendment, the bullet as we know the bullet in the, you know, the handgun or whatever, the bullet had not been invented yet when they wrote the Second Amendment. The bullet was invented in the 1830s, Samuel Colt, when he invented essentially the revolver, the six shooter. So they wrote this thing about the right to protect the arms, which is, we all know what that really meant, and we know what they meant by a militia. And they wrote it not even knowing that a thing called the bullet would exist someday. So I think that the coming for your guns, and I just want to say that you mentioned Beto O'Rourke. In the last debate, he said, we're going to come for your
assault weapons,
your AR-15s and your AK-47s. That's what he said. And Democrats were so freaked out that he said that. Oh, we're going to lose the election. You can't say that to people.
Well, let me play as that counterpoint from last night.
Okay.
Just the very beginning. We have a longer clip pulled, but we're running out of time. So we're going to play the first line of this Amy Klobuchar clip, which makes the point. Here we go.
Yep.
I just keep thinking of how close we are to finally getting something done on this.
And that was her point. And I think Pete Buttigieg made the same point later. We're so close because the country is there now pretty much on assault weapons and on background checks.
Yes.
If somebody like Beto O'Rourke starts going to gun confiscation, they're going to blow it. Do you agree?
No. In fact, and of course, the day after he said that, the Democrats' leadership and the pundits, they got on all the talk shows and tried to walk that back. No, we Democrats don't want to take our guns away. And yet, if you go back and watch that debate, when he said that, first of all, it was the only time I believe during that debate when people leapt out of their seat for a standing ovation during the debate when Beto O'Rourke, because he's in touch with how people really feel about this issue. And so everybody got nervous, but within a week, what actually did happen was that the Colt Manufacturing Company, right up here in Connecticut, announced that they were no longer going to sell the AR-15. Within a week, the AR-15 was gone. Because I'll tell you why. The Colt Manufacturing Company was smarter than the Democratic leadership that got all freaked out at Beto saying that. They knew. Nobody had dared utter that before. No Democrat had dared utter it. And whenever something first happens, whoever burns the first draft card, whoever burned the first bra, whoever the first couple was that decided to walk down from the Sears store at one end of the mall to the Penny store, holding hands of the person they're in love with, but they happen to be of the same gender. Somebody was always been the first to do this. And then watch out. The floodgates open, change occurs. And Colt got rid of that within a week. And I thought, wow, that is just proof again. If we would stop being so afraid and just change can happen very quickly. Gay marriage, so many other things that have happened very quickly, quicker than we all thought. And this issue, she's right, Senator Klobuchar, we are very close. But we don't have to pull back or be so afraid that the American people aren't with us. 78% of our fellow Americans don't own a gun. And they don't want to take the hunters' guns away from them or the people that need it for protection or whatever, gun collectors, none of that. But we need to need people, leaders, to say the bold things that need to be said so that change can occur.
We've got about a minute and a half left. You were one of the people in 2016 who predicted that Trump could actually get elected when others were dismissing the chances of that. In your home state of Michigan, key Trump swing state in 2016, probably couldn't win next year without it, assuming he's still in office. Could he win there again?
Well, first of all, the Democrat, whoever it is going to win the popular vote by even more than Hillary won it. She won by 3 million. It could be 4 or 5 million the Democrats could.
But that's why Michigan is so important.
But yes, but Trump could still win the Electoral College. Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. That's what I said he'd win it with. And listen, don't take him for granted. People are, you know, we get into what do the heroin addicts call it? The pink cloud, the high of oh my God, look at this. It's all falling apart. He's going to be gone soon. Well, yes and no. We should act every day as if he could pull this off again and take none of this for granted. But remember, he didn't lose Michigan and Wisconsin because Lunch Bucket Joe voted for him. This is the myth.
He didn't win them because of that?
No.
He won them because?
He won because people stayed home. People stayed home. The
potential Democratic voters.
Democratic voters stayed home.
And we have 10 seconds?
Therefore, we need a beloved candidate who's not going to just win because Hillary won. We need somebody who's going to crush him. And thank you for having me on here on what is today, day 1,000 of the Donald J. Trump administration.
Bowling for Columbine will have a 9 p.m. Saturday night screening on MSNBC. Are you in it? I mean, are you there? Is there a little Saturday night at the movies preview?
Yes, and 20 minutes afterwards, an interview with Ari Melber on MSNBC.
Michael Moore, thanks so much.